Good morning. Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshell Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for coming out to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A few announcements, just remind you to take your red pad, sign it, pass it down your aisle. We can have a record of your attendance, and we'll make sure this announcement gets out, and it's in the valley. Also, Ash Wednesday service has been canceled. Communion will be held February the 14th on Sunday morning. And you also see in your newsletter, I'm going to be gone the last two Sundays of February for a study leave, something I've not done in a long, long time, probably over 10 years. So I wrote a little article about it. Some people don't understand what it is. If anybody wants to know more about it, I'll be glad to talk with you. Remind you about per capita, 2910, so that's for 2016. The missional process team will meet this Wednesday, February the 3rd at 7 o'clock. I'm assuming it'll be in my office. Some offering envelopes are still on the table in the narthex, or if you don't have them and you want them, you can see Carol Schreiber. Donations for the food bank are always needed. Scripture readers, you can sign up on the table in the back, and that's just such a grand part of our worship, and feel free to do it. In the winter weather, I don't even want to make that announcement. Nursery care is available next door at McFadden Hall every Sunday. And the library is available. It says a crying room, but it should say crying and coughing room, especially during the winter season. If you need to slip out for any reason, you can go into the library. And it should be a speaker, kind of a round thing. And if it's not, you can plug it in. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise, and something I don't think's ever happened. We all screen songs today. First one, Here I Am to Worship.
Thank you.
worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we are glad that you find value in humanity. We are grateful for our relationship with you. Forgive us when we fail to find value in others. Help us with our self-esteem. Show us how we can respect ourselves. Teach us how to respect all people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for a personal, silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Sense of unity, recite our traditional Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
As we get ready to greet one another, a lot of people are coughing. This is a flu season, so if you're uncomfortable shaking someone's hand, just fist bump or something, you know? Don't get sick.
Thank you.
Responsive reading is Psalm 27, 6, 9, 7. Psalm 27, 6, 9, 7 in your hymnals. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident.
One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple.
Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors.
I am so confident. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord.
This time I invite the elder on the door to come forth for the prayer and praise request.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning Kathy Sagi is asking for prayer for a friend of hers, Molly Roby. She hurt her knee in gym class, and she is seeing the orthopedic doctor on Tuesday. Prayers her ACL is not torn, and she heals quickly. Patty Gameron is asking for prayer for her sister, Faye Harris. She had back surgery 2 weeks ago, and something was missed, so she had to have a second surgery on Friday. Also from Patty, she's asking for prayer for the French family. Her daughter, Jody, it's her father-in-law. He passed away on Friday from cancer. His name's Albert French. And she's asking for additional prayer for, is it Landon? Jody's son, that he was his grandpa's playmate on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And from Suzanne Connors for Andrea Miller, it's AJ's daughter, Suzanne's stepdaughter. She's that they're asking for special prayers for her special needs for a special angel, and she is in Allegheny General Hospital right now. And also a praise request from Suzanne. Her parents arrived from Florida permanently. Her parents moved from Florida on a permanent basis. Welcome, Jack and Mary Lee.
Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the sun and shining that brings a sense of warmth and well-being to each of us. We thank you for the scriptures that guide us and lead us in how we are to live our lives on a daily basis. We thank you for Jesus and all the things that he did, the healing and the teaching and giving us such a wonderful example to how to be in life. And we see through the scriptures that people's lives were up and down. Many people had great travails, but you were always there for them. And we thank you for that. Help us to believe that you are with us every day, every step of the way, never leaving us and never forsaking us. So we lift all these prayers to you, Heavenly Father, through the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that you hear these prayers and answer them with your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for touching each one of us this day. And we thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation on the screen, You Are the Healing. bow for prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for this day, to be alive, have the opportunity to gather together as your church, to worship you in spirit and in truth. As Pastor Glenshaw Valley, I thank you for calling us into relationship with one another and pouring out your gifts upon this church, that we might proclaim the word, we might reach out with healing and kindness, we might do good deeds. And thank you, Lord, to everyone that attempts to do their best for your glory. Thank you for their giving. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and even our friend, we do pray. Amen.
Today's reading comes from Luke 4, verses 16 through 30. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord, the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote me to this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' and you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in a prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, where the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Bless the reading.
I think all of us here probably remember the late Rodney Dangerfield, and the type of comedian that he was cut out a niche for himself that was different from other comedians. And he would always use this saying, "I don't get no respect. I don't get no respect." He would say why he was always adjusting his tie and moving around. So I tell you, when I was a kid, all I knew was rejection. My yo-yo, it never came back. With my dog, I don't get no respect. He keeps barking at the front door. He don't want to go out. He wants me to leave. I asked my old man if I could go ice skating on the lake. He told me, "Wait till it gets warmer." Once when I saw a policeman and asked him to help me find my parents, I said to him, "You think we'll ever find them?" The policeman said, "I don't know, kid. There's so many places they can hide." Rodney Dangerfield was making light of certain truth in our society. Some people are not given much respect. The newspaper carried an article a while back about a junior high student boy who was 13 years old, and asked him, why did he always carry a gun? And he said, "Because if I pack a gun, I'm going to get respect." That's very sad. There are people who go through their entire lives and never feel respected, particularly among those who are closest to them. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands if you've gone through life feeling like you've not been respected. Or when you were a youth, you actually thought about leaving home, maybe running away because you felt that your family did not respect you or care for you. They never listened to you. They didn't even seem to know at times that you were even in the room. I suspect that there's at least a few people in this room today who, as an adult, you don't feel respected. whether it's at your work, maybe it's at home, and you feel taken for granted. Maybe even you feel taken advantage of. Several years ago, the great Aretha Franklin sang the Otis Redding song, Respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. All I'm asking is for a little respect when you come home. Just a little bit. I suspect all of us hunger in our lives for respect. We hunger for people to listen to us. We hunger for people to take our ideas seriously, or to at least care how we feel. When we are disrespected, we lose our sense of self-esteem or our sense of self-worth and feel dishonored as a person. Maybe you will find encouragement from this. Even Jesus had difficulty finding respect from those closest to him. This is a bizarre statement in Mark 3:21. At the beginning of Christ's ministry, and I'm going to paraphrase it just a little bit to try to fill in the context. When his family heard about Christ's teaching and his casting out of demons, they went to take charge of him. For they said, he's out of his mind. Imagine that. Jesus' own family thought he was nuts, and they wanted to take him away and put him away and lock him up if they could. Talk about no respect. Then we have our lesson for today from Luke's Gospel, which Jesus returns to the hometown of Nazareth and begins to teach in the synagogue, which was kind of like a home group study. And we read, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. So it wasn't something he just happened to do on this Sabbath. He stood up to read in the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, which was handed to him. He didn't look and say, well, this is what I want to do. It was given to him, unrolled the scroll like this. And unrolling it, it found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then says Luke, he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in that room were upon him. He began by saying, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Reading on in the passage, we discover that the home folks were impressed, I think, at first. Isn't this Joseph's son? You can see there maybe their hometown pride starting to swell. A local boy was doing well. But then they thought about his words, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. The implications of that comment were that Jesus is saying, I am the Messiah. I am the anointed one. I am the one that the prophets have written about and proclaimed would come. I am he. And then they began to get incensed. These people had watched Jesus grow up. They knew him as a boy running around playing games, being like every other boy in the community. How could this son of Joseph be the Messiah? He's from right here. Maybe he speaks well. Maybe he even heals some people. But he cannot be the Messiah. He's just a carpenter's son, for crying out loud. It can't be Jesus. How dare him say that he is the Messiah? Jesus knew what was going on in their mind. He said, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. And by this time Jesus has finished speaking, we read these amazing words. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. All of them. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which he was built and began to throw him off the cliff. They were going to kill him at that very moment. No trial, no jury, no chance to defend himself. Just, we're going to kill you for saying this right here and now. And that's quite a remarkable response to his very first sermon of a young rabbi in his home synagogue. They were going to kill him because they didn't like what he was saying. He escaped, of course, but the lesson is clear. Among his own people, Jesus couldn't get any respect. So remember that in your own life when it happens to you, when people around you are not respecting you. Jesus understands. He has been where you may be. But how do you become a person who is respected? After all, positions don't normally necessarily guarantee you respect. Titles don't necessarily guarantee respect. Being an older person doesn't necessarily gain you respect, or being a woman or a man doesn't necessarily gain you respect. So how do we become, to the best of our ability, people that are respected? The first step of being respected by others, you got to start with respecting yourself. You have to look inward and care about yourself. Regardless of your age, your gender, your social status, none of that should matter when it comes to respect. A certain amount of respect by conducting ourselves with dignity and character. Our society over the past few decades has done a terrific job with helping young people with their self-esteem. But there's a difference, I think, between self-esteem and self-respect. Self-esteem has to do with how you feel about yourself. Self-respect has to do with the kind of person that you really are deep down inside. Are you a person of honor? Are you a person who can be trusted? Are you the kind of person who does the right thing even when other people are not looking and watching? So self-respect has to do with our personal code of conduct. That is the meaning of David Brooks' book, The Road to Character. Character, he says, which is really another word for self-respect, is not won by comparing ourselves with others or patting ourselves on the back and saying, man, I am so great and wonderful. Character has to do instead with our perpetual struggle to be a better person. It's being able to say, I'm not everything that I want to be, but I'm trying to be better than I was yesterday. So, are you a person that can be trusted by your friends, by your family? Every time a person resists temptation to betray his or her moral code, he or she boosts a sense of self-respect. And anytime you do or say something simply and solely because it is the right thing to do, and anytime you refrain from doing or saying something because it is wrong, you boost your self-respect. Every temptation in this life is a test. When you pass the test, you feel better about yourself. And we've taught our young people to have self-esteem, but we have to ask ourselves, am I modeling it to other people, especially to the young, what it means to have self-respect? We gain respect of others, hopefully, first of all, by respecting ourselves. The second step to gaining respect for ourselves is to respect others. Jesus calls us to respect all people, regardless of whom they may be. I read about a man named John Berry who didn't like the way a bank manager in Spokane, Washington, treated him. When he walked in, he had dirty construction clothes on and just did not look like somebody you think has money. So Berry, who had just wanted a parking slip validated, took his money and left. It just so happened that his money amounted to more than $2 million. It began when Barry, 59, went to the Old National Bank to cash a $100 check, and then he asked him to validate his 60-cent parking slip. And the teller wouldn't do it. So he asked to see the bank manager. The bank manager wouldn't do it. So he went to corporate headquarters. They wouldn't do it. So the next day he went in and made his first withdrawal of $1 million. Went back later and got the second million. He says, if you have $100 in the bank or $1 million, I think they at least owe you the courtesy of validating your parking slip. One of the keys to regaining respect for yourself is to show respect for others. When the bank manager didn't show this humble-looking customer the respect he felt that he was due, he in turn lost that customer's business and loyalty. Third step in gaining respect is to do the best that you can in everything that you do. Tommy Nelson, in his book, The 12 Essentials of Godly Success, tells about Oscar Hammond's... sorry. Mm-hmm. tells a story about Oscar Hammerstein, who once asked why he worked so hard to perfect his lyrics. He answered a question with a story about seeing a photo of the Statue of Liberty taken from a helicopter. He said that he was amazed to see on the Statue of Liberty how perfect the hair was on the top of the statue. And this was in 1886, long before people were flying planes and helicopters able to look down on something. So why would someone spend all that time working on the top of the head of a 180-foot statue that thought that no one would ever see? It's because that Frederick Bartoli, the Frenchman who made it, knew that liberty and was grand, that it was just and it was a wonderful, glorious thing, and he didn't want to do a half-hearted job. So Hammerstein realized that if Bartoli could do this work with excellence of concept of liberty, then he could do his music well for his audience. And so he strived for perfection and greatness in everything that he did. Earning the respect of others is not an easy task. And even Jesus was disrespected by his own family and the people in his hometown, and eventually most of the people in the whole country. And eventually, he was crucified. But there are simple things we can do to help respect of ourselves and others. First, respect yourselves. Live out the highest values that you can. Respect others. Treat everybody the way that you yourself would like to be treated. And do your best in everything that you do. Now, these principles may not guarantee you to get respect, because some people just don't respect anyone. They go through their whole life not respecting anybody or anything, any institution or people. And that's just the way that they're built. You're never going to get it from them. So you may not be able to go through life getting the respect that you feel you deserve, but you can certainly begin by respecting yourself. May God bless you. Amen. Very excited. Sorry. Very excited to announce reception this morning. Been approved by the session last Sunday morning of 3 new members. So I will call them up and do a little introduction and welcome into the church. And then after we do this, and the last song and benediction, I'll ask these 3 to come up front again and stand and face the congregation, give people time and opportunity to come welcome you into full fellowship. The first couple, Linda and John Neff, you'll come forward. And I'm going to stand up here today until I'm through, as is my voice. Linda lives along with Jeff on Cleaver Road here in Glenshaw. Grew up Presbyterian. She has been baptized. She's originally from the Crafton, Donegal area. She works at Westinghouse as administrative aide. And she said and circled that she might could do some occasional office help. Sorry. John Neff, was a senior mechanical design. I can't read my writing. Comp A design crafting, computer A, sorry. Computer design drafting. He doesn't have any hobbies right now, but one of the questions he asked me in the meeting was about riding motorcycles. He used to ride a Harley and used to be in the Miata club also. And he was raised in Glenshaw, so he has walked these streets before. And so he has been baptized also, and he said he could help with some occasional church repair or maintenance. The next is Andrew or Andy or AJ. Goes by a lot of names. He has been baptized. He used to be a member of the Valley Presbyterian Group in the Imperial, PA area. He's a retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel. He currently is a nurse anesthesiologist. Am I saying that right? Anesthetist. Thank you. His hobbies, if you don't already know, are automobiles, motorcycles, especially Harleys. And he used to have his own airplane with another gentleman and fly around. And not in committee, I want to perk up on this. He said he'd be willing to serve as an elder or a deacon. Could help with some occasional church repair, provide transportation, or open his house for small adult group Bible studies, which he and they've done before. I have these few questions to ask you, and you can. I'll tell you how to respond if you're able to do it. Who is your Lord and Savior? Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Okay. Do you trust in Him?
I do.
Do you intend to be His disciple, to obey His word and show His love?
I do.
Will you be a faithful member of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way, and will you seek the fellowship of the church wherever you may be?
I will.
I want to be the first to welcome you in as a member of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for your willingness to join. You can be seated in just a moment. We will call you back up. Now, I talked to Linda and John about it. And, Andy's been coming here for a long, long time, over 6 years. So I told Linda and John that we would not jump on them to serve on any boards or committees right away. And they said, thank you. We want to get adjusted. We have one more person who's asked to join. They're in Alabama visiting with their sister. And we'll get them as soon as possible. Our hymn of response, a screen song, This Little Light of Mine. As you prepare to leave the sanctuary today, may you go with a sense of peace. May you go respecting yourself and allow yourself to build your self-esteem, your self-worth, your self-respect, and offer that to others. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Thank you.